And if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. You want me up there? All right. Ephesians chapter 4, but I'm going to read what we've been looking at out of 1 John 4:4 and Philippians 4:13. 1 John 4:4 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them." Say, overcome them. Isn't that awesome? You're an overcomer. Woo! That's great. And then he says, why? "For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Isn't that awesome? So, I mean, I hope you're getting this. "For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." And then because of that, we can understand Philippians 4:13 better, which says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And we went through this last week, and I just want to encourage you that it doesn't mean that you can do all things, but what it does mean is that whatever you're facing, whatever difficulties come your way, whatever the enemy wants to throw your way, whatever it is, in the negative realm, you can take victory over it. You can have victory over it because greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. And therefore, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we're overcomers. We're victorious over whatever is there. And it's not because we have it in ourselves, but it's because of who is in us, which is Christ who lives in us. And so if we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, last week we looked at how we can love others then, like God has loved us, because he's in us. And so I just want to give you another scripture concerning that, which is Ephesians 4:32. And it's so awesome to know that we can do this. Ephesians 4:32. He says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Isn't that awesome? So here's a command for us. This is not like an option. You can't opt out of this. He says, be kind to one another. So that means in Christ, because you can do all things through him who strengthens you, and because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world, you can be kind to others. Everybody say, I can be kind. Now, see, some of y'all aren't getting it because you didn't say it. What, are you trying to be mean or something? You can be kind. Isn't that fantastic? And not only can you be kind, but he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Isn't that awesome? You can be tenderhearted. Say, I can be tenderhearted. You're feeling better already, aren't you? And then he says, not only can we be kind and tenderhearted, but he says, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So you can be forgiving. Isn't that awesome? Say, I can forgive. So look, already this morning we're finding out you can be kind, you can be tenderhearted, and you can be forgiving. Whoo, this is a good day, isn't it? And all of this because he is in you. Christ is in you. Now, if you haven't gotten it, I just want to give you one more scripture that'll help us and, you know, kind of been, you know, dealing with this without looking at it. So this week we're going to look at it. So if you haven't been convinced that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, then hopefully this scripture will help you. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Oh, this is so good. Romans 8:11 says, "If the spirit of him," so this is God's spirit, "if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." Isn't that awesome? So now he's talking about the Holy Spirit who's in us. And he said, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to be able to do in you. He raised Christ from the dead, and because he raised Christ from the dead, he's going to be able to bring your life out of the dead also and give you life.
He's going to give us life to our bodies. So it's not when we get to heaven that we're going to get it all, but we can get it now. We can have life now. And he says, through his Spirit who dwells in us. And so it's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ who is in us, that enables us to walk in love, to walk differently, to walk in a new way, in a new direction, to be kind, to be tenderhearted, to be forgiving. It's the Christ in us that enables us to do that. How many times have we said to ourselves, I can't do that? You know, I've told you these stories before. I'm not going to go into any more because they're still happening. But, you know, I'll tell my wife I can't, and she tells me I can. And so once she tells me that I can, then it's over, right? You know it's going to happen. And that's the way it is with God. We try to tell him, well, I can't do that. And he says, but I can. And because I can, and I'm in you, I know you can. So I just want to encourage you, sometimes we just need to do it. Just quit arguing, quit trying to figure it out, just do it. Now, I like Romans 8:11 in the NIV version, the old one, so let me read it to you in that. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, period. And I like that. That would be good enough for me. Think about this. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Now, God has a reason for the Holy Spirit to be living in us, so let's continue. He says, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life, everybody say, give life, to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Okay? Isn't that awesome? So it's by him living in us. We can do all things. We are capable of doing more things than we thought we were able to. We don't have an excuse. We can't say, I can't, when he says we can. You know, when he says in Ephesians 4, to be kind, to be tenderhearted, to be forgiven, you know, in the natural, that may be hard for us, but because he lives in us, we can do that. And we need to understand that Jesus came not just so that we would be saved, but that we would have power to live the life that God wants us to live in Christ Jesus, to be able to be victorious over our flesh, over our selfishness, and over the ways of this world, and to live a different life. And it's awesome that he desires that we live differently. If you go out throughout the scriptures, you know, you'll find that, especially in Paul's writing, how he encourages us to live differently. All right, so now we're going to go through some scriptures out of the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 3. We're going to go through them, and I just want to encourage you this morning of who is in you, of the Christ that is in us, of the Spirit of God who is in us. And when we sit there and we say, well, I just can't. I want you to be able to walk away today knowing that you can. You can. Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And because his Spirit lives in me, he's given me life. And I'm going to live it. Isn't that awesome? All right, so John chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Isn't that awesome? And, you know, we just need to pause on that a little bit and realize, you know, flesh is flesh, but spirit is spirit. And as believers, we're the ones who get to live in two realms. We get to have this flesh, but then we also get the power of God to live in us. And then verse 7. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, others may not hear it, others may not see it, others may not even comprehend that he is in us, but he's in us, and we can do it. Say, I can do it. By the end, I want you to say, I'm going to do it. Isn't that awesome? You can do it. We can do it. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And, you know, I've shared this before. If he's seeking that kind of worship, then I want his eyes to land on me. I want his eyes to land on my heart and on my house and say, hey, I now want everybody to know, hey, those are the ones, they're worshiping me. They're seeking after me. They're coming after my heart. So he says this, that we have to worship in spirit and truth. And then verse 24, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So I bring this up because if God is spirit, and that's what he says in verse 24, then maybe we need to pay more attention to the spirit. Maybe we need to turn our tuners on more to the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to us. Let him help us. Let him lead us and guide us so that we can be victorious. You know, the greatest thing is in us, and there's nothing greater that can be in us than the Holy Spirit. And yet we sometimes don't even turn to him right away. We always try and figure it out in our own ways, in our own natural understanding. And I just want to encourage you, God is spirit, he's in us. Let's pay more attention to the Holy Spirit in us. John 6, 60, please. And this is after Jesus said some strange stuff, but he's really talking about his body being broken and everything else. John 6, 60. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? I just love that. I love that. Because he's like, guys, one day you're going to see me rising. And what are you going to think then? And then he says this in verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. And I just wonder how many times we're looking for life elsewhere. We're trying to find it elsewhere. And it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. And then he says this, the flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And I believe what he's saying here is that, you know, here's what matters. What matters is the spirit. The spirit realm is going to live forever. Your body's going to waste away. It's going to go away someday. But the things that I say to you, the words that I speak to you, they're life. They're going to last forever. Isn't that awesome? So we need to put more emphasis on walking according to and with the Holy Spirit and less of us walking according to the flesh and what we see. You know, and I've shared in the past few weeks that we have our own understanding, we have our own sights, but God has a new understanding, different sights. Faith has its own understanding, and we need to be willing to walk in that. Now, we always have to understand this. We can't ignore the flesh. We can't pretend that it's not there. The thing that he's talking about is not being dominated by it, not being ruled by it, not being governed by it and in the ways of this world. John chapter 7, please. John chapter 7. Verse 37, John 7:37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Isn't that awesome? And, you know, I know that there's different seasons that we're going to go through in the natural, even in our walk with God, but all of them are designed to awaken us and allow the Holy Spirit to become prevalent in our lives so that we are listening to Him. We are in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're walking with the Holy Spirit, because out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. Have you ever been around people that the rivers of living water aren't flowing? It's not fun. What comes out of them is they're miserable, they're defeated, they lack, they don't have anything. And it's hard to be around people like that. And God doesn't want us to be people like that. He wants us to be people that are refreshing, that are watering, that are soothing. You think of all the things that water does and how it strengthens us and rejuvenates us. And that's what God wants coming out of us. So he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And then I love this in verse 39. They didn't quite understand it, but now they do. Now this he said about the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? So he's correlating the living waters to be the Holy Spirit flowing out of us. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so I just want to ask you, how are you going to be known down here? You know, we're to have a good reputation down here. People in the natural, people that we work for, people that we hang with, they should have a good understanding of our reputation, that it's a good reputation. We should work hard at that. But you know what I want to challenge us on? What's our reputation for letting the rivers of living water flow out of us? Can we be known as a person of that stature, of that reputation? The Spirit of God flows out of them. The rivers of living water flow out of them. You know, every time I'm around them, I get refreshed. Whenever I'm around them, I start believing, you know what? I can do this. Is that your reputation? We need to have a good reputation as we walk with the Holy Spirit, and He flows out of us. John chapter 14. We've looked at this recently, but I just want to remind you of it. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Anybody else besides me need help? We all need help. If you don't need help, keep breathing. You'll need it sooner or later. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And this is what John was talking about. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. This is what Paul was talking about in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He's talking about the Holy Spirit being in us. And John 14:26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit. See, when you need help, you can cry for help, but God's going to send us the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? And it might come in the form of your body going to somebody and helping them and refreshing them and giving them what the Holy Spirit is saying to encourage them. Isn't that awesome? Because he's living in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you a few things and bring to your remembrance a few things that I've said. No, he doesn't say that. He said he will teach us all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Isn't that awesome? That means that when we listen to the Holy Spirit will raise us up to a new way of living, to a new way of seeing life, to a new adventure as we walk with him. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And so we're going to have that witness that we belong to him. And then verse 27, and you also will bear witness. So we're going to bear that same witness that we belong to him, that the Holy Spirit is in us, that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so when I need to be kind to somebody who's having a bad day, I can be kind to them. I can be tender-hearted to somebody who's struggling. And I can forgive those who need to be forgiven. Isn't that awesome? We can bear that witness. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. John 16:12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Isn't that awesome? I love this. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What's his? Salvation, healing, the gifts, whatever we have need of, the promises, they're all secured in Christ, and they're made available to us through the Holy Spirit. He's going to declare it to us. We need to declare it as well. And then verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And as I read those scriptures, I think, man, no wonder he said earlier, it's to our advantage that he goes away, because if he goes away, he's going to send us the Holy Spirit. When we think about all of this, we have an advantage over the rest of the world. And I just want to ask you, what are you doing with your advantage? Are you miserable like the world is? Are you scared like the world is? Are you fearful like the world is? Are you angry like the world is? You know, if you haven't noticed it lately, the world is very angry. The world is acting like a bully. You can be like that. You don't even have to have faith to be like that. But that's not what God has called us to. He's called us to be kind, to be tenderhearted, to be forgiven, to be slow to become angry. So we have an advantage over the rest of the world. John chapter 20, verse 21. This is towards the end before he was taken up. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? So before he's taken up, he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And so scripture, when you study this out, this is the point where they're born again. The disciples are born again. God has given them his Spirit. Okay? And then Jesus says this. You ready for this? Are you really ready? I hope you're ready. I know you're ready. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so he says this, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then this is the next verse, verse 23. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. See, everything was going good for a while. oh, I'll take the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I just want you to know, if you forgive anybody, they're forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now, don't get that wrong and think that if you withhold forgiveness towards somebody, it's going to do them harm. It's not. It's going to do you harm. It's going to do us harm if we withhold it. But, you know, I think it's so pointed that he says this, talks about receiving the Holy Spirit, and then he says, you're going to need it because you're going to have to forgive. Anybody ever have to forgive in here? Yeah. That's a daily thing. And one of the things that I have figured out, if in case you haven't figured it out, I need to forgive myself first. I need to learn how to forgive myself first so I can pass that on to others. That's a lot of power that is within us to be able to forgive. All right. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3, please. We're almost done. Hang in there. Oh, we got plenty of time left. Matthew chapter 3. My whole desire this morning is to stir up the Holy Spirit within each and every one of us who are born again. To let us know that we can live differently. That, yes, Jesus came to forgive us our sins, but he came for more than that. He came to get the Holy Spirit in us so that we could live differently, so that we could live according to the ways of heaven. And whatever God calls us to, no matter how we can't do it in our own strength, with our own understanding, we can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us. And we need to rely on him. We need to activate that. We need to stir that understanding up in us. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning, because I want you to go out in power this morning. And in Matthew chapter 3, and this is in all of the Gospels, and so I just want you to know, if it's in all of the Gospels, you need to pay attention to it. But I just chose the one out of Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 11. This is John the Baptist speaking, and he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And so this is what is proclaimed. Jesus, as he's getting ready to go to the cross and die and be buried for us, he's starting to prepare the disciples, letting them know, hey, this is what I'm here to do, but I'm here to do this so that the Holy Spirit can come and live inside of you. All that we read in John chapter, or in the Gospel of John, talking about the Holy Spirit, was Jesus preparing the way for the Father to release the Holy Spirit into us. So here it is in Acts chapter 1. And Jesus is giving them the last words. He says in Acts 1 verse 4, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so he's preparing them. He's gone to the cross. He's done everything that he was supposed to do. And now he says, you know what? The Holy Spirit's coming. And I thank God that they obeyed and that they waited. They obeyed and they waited, which is exactly what he told them to do. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so you have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt that God was at work in them. Changed the life of Peter, changed the life of all of the disciples. And then they began to do miraculous things. The same things that Jesus did while he was on earth. The same things that are happening today. And so it's imperative that we stir up, that we recognize, that we become in tune with the Holy Spirit so that we can become all that God desires for us to become. That we can walk in a way that looks supernatural to the world but is normal to heaven. Natural to heaven. To be known as somebody where the rivers of living water flow out of. Just think about your workplace. If it's chaos and everybody's critical and describe it any way you want, it's not a good atmosphere, you dread going there. Because God lives in you, you can go there and you can change that atmosphere. When everybody else is being harsh, you can be kind, you can be tender-hearted. Wouldn't that be awesome? People see that. What is that? And you can tell them it's God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Can you mute me, please? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. If you know this, Paul has given us a great discourse on the salvation and everything that God has done. And then he starts off Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Isn't that a good question? Verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, he doesn't say some of us. Does he? He says, do you not know that all of us, so if you become born again, he's talking about you, okay? Now, some of us will read this and we'll think that, well, it's for a few special people. No, it's for all of us. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And then he explains why this is important in verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Yes. Hallelujah. God has done all that he's done to be able to place his Spirit in us. And that Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, if it lives in us, will be able to bring life to our mortal bodies. And that was Romans 8:11, but 6:4 says that we too might walk in newness of life. The power of the Holy Spirit, it's not that you need more of the power of the Holy Spirit, because when you get the Holy Spirit, you get all the power of the Holy Spirit. But what we need to do is know how to walk with the Holy Spirit, know how to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. So when he says to do something, we are willing to do it. And when we're willing to do it, when we're willing to walk with the Holy Spirit, that's when we're going to see things happen in our lives. And this newness of life, we have to understand, God desires that we walk in it now, not when we get to heaven. You'll have the complete newness of life then. But until then, we get to walk in a new way of living. We get to walk differently than how we used to walk before we knew Christ. We get to walk differently according to the ways of the world. We can walk in a different manner, and that's what God has asked us to do. We'll close with this scripture, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. And it says this, "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." In other words, if we've been buried with him through placing our faith in him, we're also raised with him. Isn't that awesome? By the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive." Isn't that awesome? God made alive together with him, speaking of Christ. God made us alive together in Christ. So when he raised Christ from the dead, we have that same resurrection, and we can walk in a different way, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal command or demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him, in Christ. And so God has done all of this that we would be alive, that we would be made alive. If you'll stand with me, please. God did everything that he did, made us, gave us the freedom to choose, sent us Christ, and then to everyone who believes in Christ, he pours out his spirit into us. He did all of this so that we can walk differently, so that we don't have to walk according to our own understanding, according to the ways of this world, but we can walk differently. We can walk better. We can walk higher than this world does. And when we walk differently and we walk in the newness and the better way that God has for us, that's when you start enjoying life. Amen? That's the way to live. So I want to encourage us to go live the life that the Holy Spirit will direct you to. Go live it today. Go do the things that you never thought that you could do, but the Holy Spirit says you can do because he's in you. And then as you do that, enjoy life. Enjoy the new life with the Holy Spirit, because you can do this. We can do this with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. And Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you for the truth of your words. And Lord, I thank you that we can do all things through you, through Christ, who strengthens us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit, as we listen to you, as we walk with you, as we're attentive to you, as we make you a priority, we will enter into a new way of living, a new life, that by your Spirit, you will bring life to our bodies. You will bring us everything that we have need of. And Father, I pray that we would be such a people who are so aware of the Holy Spirit that when you tell us we can do something, we're going to go do it. Not in our own strength, not in our own power, but because of you who lives in us. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right, go do it. Go be His in Jesus' name.